So, former 610 host and now Fox Sports 1 host, yep. Nick Wright.
That guy.
And we know where he stands on the NBA. It's worship LeBron, then everything else. And he makes no bones about this. I am not saying something that is not common knowledge.
No, everyone knows this.
I am
this
not is, even saying yeah. something he does not wholly admit.
No, he's admitted it plenty of times.
It's LeBron James, the Grand Canyon, rest of the NBA. Like, yeah. he doesn't care, and yep. that's okay. That's always been, that's been Nick.
LeBron's his guy.
From day one.
LeBron and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, yeah, okay. and he's also a he's huge
from,
Mahomes.
But he's from KC, right?
Yeah, he is
from KC. So.
Which is okay, but still, it does get a little annoying.
Those are his guys, though. I mean, he's been honest about it. Yeah. We'll put it like that.
So here's Nick Wright talking about who he believes will win the West in the NBA next year.
I think I'll pick them to win the West.
Really?
I think they have a great blend of what we've seen works right now in the NBA, which is, you talked about the defense, bang. High-level coaching, no doubt about it. Depth and a guy who can get you a guaranteed 25-plus, yep, which Kevin Durant still is. Like, there is no question about it.
Well, then. I mean, I'm actually kind of surprised that he went there because I just knew he was going to say the Lakers for some reason. And we just talked about him being a LeBron guy. So I'm actually kind of surprised that he went there. I am.
And you weren't sure who he was talking about when he said Kevin Durant.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't say the team. But once he got to the player, I'm like, okay. That's why I was surprised.
That should be the sell and the tell. He's picking the Rockets.
Yeah, I was a little surprised.
To win the West next year. Not the Thunder.
No.
Not the LeBronies.
LeBron, that's where I thought he was going to go.
Okay, not the Nuggets. No, he's picking the Rockets to win the West. And that is a very legitimate possibility to me.
I mean, at this point, with bringing in Durant, I mean, it pretty much, isn't it championship or bust? Like
Absolutely.
There's no way they can go out even before Game 7 of the conference finals. Let's just say that. There's no way. There has to be a deep run. There has to. Once you make that trade for Kevin Durant, you're bringing him in to go win the title. So, yeah, it has to be championship or bust at this point. So, no, I mean, he's not wrong for saying that.
They think they're winning now. They went from 41 to 52. They removed a player that they no longer believed in. And they brought in one of the greatest scorers of all time. They are absolutely win or bust.
They're going all in right now. And whether you like the move or not, they have to be one of the favorites to win the West next season. They have to be at this point.
It is, to me, the Rockets should be at a minimum on par with the Thunder. They should at least be dead even. That's how big an impact Durant makes. They should at least be dead even.
That's the impact we expect.
He's their SGA, right? SGA, when they need a bucket, they go to SGA. Rockets need a bucket, they go to Kevin Durant.
What did we talk about pretty much all this past season? Who's going to be that guy in the clutch in the postseason when you need a bucket? We talked about that all season into the playoffs, into that first round, into game 7 of that first round against the Warriors. We talked about who's going to be the guy. Now, it wasn't Green. It wasn't Jalen Green.
You know,
he didn't get it done.
More often, it was Alpi.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, they did not always go to Alpi in those spots. But how many times do we see Alpi be the guy who gets the clutch bucket in the last 2 minutes of the game? There's a game where Alpi was awful the whole game. He got benched in the fourth quarter. They put him in the game with like 12 seconds to go. Missed foul. Somebody else misses a foul shot. He grabs the rebound and gets the putback.
Yeah.
And ties the game. Like, that was the whole reason he was in there, and he delivered.
You got to have a guy like that. And that's what great players are made of what guys who you think can be great should have in them. Yeah, you had a bad game, but you were there when we needed you. That's what you need. But now you got Durant. You know, more often than not, many of those big shots, last second, whatever it is, late game, clutch shots that you need, The ball's going to be in his hands, and he can create. On top of that, when he draws double teams, now it opens it up for everybody else.
If you don't double team Durant, he is going to score at will.
Oh, of course. Of course. I mean, we talk about it all the time. He's one of those rare three-level scorers. He's one of the few.
If you do double team him, then you're not double teaming Alpi. And that means Alpi's going to get a bunny.
Yeah.
Or Alpi's going to find Amen Thompson flying in like a 747 at 500 miles an hour for a slam.
Yeah. I mean, looking at this trade, I mean, there's no way that they are not better now than what they were with Jalen Green. Yeah, you gave up a defender in Dylan Brooks, but again, you still have Amen Thompson. And this is a good team. This is a team that plays total team defense, right? And people don't really give him the credit for it, but Durant is a better defender than you think he is.
He's an excellent
defender. He's a better defender than he gets credit for, is what I should
say. I had seen that the only person who had a better defensive rating than Kevin Durant in one-on-one situations was Amen Thompson. I mean, he's a 6'11 small forward, and he's going to get to be a small forward again for the first time since playing in OKC. Because
so do you think he'll primarily play?
He's going to play three. I think he's going to play three.
I think he could. I
think that's where he wants to play.
Well, definitely where he wants to play, I would say. But I think at certain moments, especially in the playoffs, you may see him slide to the four at times.
Maybe, but I mean, like Jabari is going to play the four. He's going to be the stretch four, where you know he's going to be the guy who essentially is going to replace Dylan Brooks' offense in the lineup. Where now Dylan used to be that corner three guy.
Yeah.
Well, Jabari's going to be the corner three guy now.
Well, he's going to get a lot of them.
Yeah,
he's going to get a lot of them,
and that's going to open the lane for Alpi. And then on the other side, you've got man when they go to they could go to an all big lineup.
They really can.
With Amen, Cam.
Yeah.
Durant.
Tari.
Adams and Alpi.
Are we sure Adams is coming back, though?
Yeah. He's already signed.
Oh, did he?
Yeah,
he's signed. I didn't see that. Yeah.
So, I mean, you can go and play high-low with Alpi and Adams, which is really Alpi off the high block and Adams there to clean up a mess. Because Adams' only offensive shot is dunk.
It's all he needs.
And you've got KD. And you've got Amen in the dunker position, you know, coming off the wing. And Cam, of course, can shoot from anywhere and will have no problem shooting from anywhere. There's a little bit
confident young man there.
There's a little bit of J.R. Smith in Cam in that he's never met a shot he didn't like.
Oh, man.
There is no place on the court where he's like, you know, I probably should. Nah, man, I'm shooting this. It's every time. We used to call J.R. Smith a bad shot taker and a bad shot maker because when he was hot, he'd hit.
Oh, he could get hot.
The most ridiculous, terrible shots. He'd hit them. No, nobody made you go, no, yes, more than J.R. Smith.
He could be the definition of streaky at times.
He also
was definitely that.
Had the basketball IQ of a dead snail, which I think Cam is a little better.
I was going to say, I hope Cam is going to be better than that.